Welcome back to My Seminary Life. I'm your host, Brandon Knight. We are back for another edition of Celebrate March. This is a series devoted to celebrating people who were born throughout the month of March who have contributed to whether it be faith, religion, pop culture, kind of an intersection of all of the above. There's some pretty interesting people that have been born in this month. And today we are gathered to celebrate the birthday of Fred Rogers, who is, of course, most known for his beloved PBS series, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And to talk about this show today, I've brought back one of the boys from Systematic Ecology, the host of the homily, Pastor Will Rose. Pastor Will, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad. Like, I'm not as old as Fred Rogers, but I do remember watching him on PBS when I was a kid. So I do have that experience, watching him live and in action when I was a little one. And so, yeah, my brother's birthday is in March. And then you have St. Patrick's Day, but I guess was he martyred on March 17th or was he born on March 17th? We'll look that up later, folks.
Look that up. I think he died. I don't think he was martyred. I think he died roughly in March. Gotcha. So Fred Rogers was born on March 20th, 1928, which means we're just a handful of years away from what would be his 100th birthday. He passed away February 27th of 03. So just a couple years after the show initially wrapped up. This is an interesting show, an interesting person for Pastor Will and I to talk about today, because we were both the target demographic, but at two very completely different time frames. That shows right. The longevity of this program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, running from, I think it was like the late 60s all the way to the summer of 2001.
Yeah, so, isn't that amazing? God,
that's amazing. And I found out, I did not know, prior to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, he had a Canadian children's show that ran for a couple seasons in the early 60s. So he was on television for 40 years or something like that, like something crazy. So Pastor Will, let's get into this. What is your what was your experience with Mr. Rogers? Was this like a usual show for you growing up?
Yeah, I mean, my era was that you only had a couple of times a week and a couple of channels that had children's show. There was none of this like continuous 24/7 children's cartoon network or show to constantly entertain your kids 24/7 on a cable or streaming thing. It was like you had little blockets of time on a couple of TVs, whether it was Saturday morning cartoons, and then you had PBS that had like the morning block was children's education stuff like Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, maybe a few other things that I'm forgetting. Eventually it merged into Reading Rainbow and that kind of stuff. But for me as a kid, I remember specifically on days when we didn't have school or you were sick and had to lay on the couch and watch something or during the summer, that was like our only kind of kids' TV was PBS, Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. And so that was kind of hand in hand for me when I was really little. I mean, I don't remember how old I was when my mom put me in front of the TV to watch some of these things or learn or whatever in school, but it was always a part of that kind of early childhood TV learning development kind of stuff that parents didn't feel guilty putting you in front of the TV in front of Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers. So definitely remember that. And I don't know how old I was when I kind of aged out of it, but in terms of the pop culture of the song, you know, Won't You Be My Neighbor, the walking into the room and that his easy, non-anxious presence and soothing voice and changing his shoes to get ready to spend some time and sit down and talk with you. It super formative and a big part of remembering that TV show for me.
Yeah, so that is apparently every child's experience, because Claire also said that when she was a kid, when she was homesick from school, or, you know, it was the summertime, that's what you, that was what was on. I think she said it was Mr. Rogers, and then they would flip over to The Price is Right or vice versa. Yeah, like,
exactly. There's game shows. There's morning game shows. It wasn't, I was not watching soap operas, but yeah, the game shows and the PBS and then the game shows. Exactly. 100%.
100%. I did not grow up watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So, you know, I did grow up during the era with Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon and all that. So usually in the morning I was watching, I think it was Nickelodeon cartoons, Little Bear and Blue's Clues and things like that. I would watch PBS in the afternoon with like Arthur, Cyber Chase, Zoom, those kind of shows. So I did not grow up watching Mr. Rogers. My dad, though, every once in a while would turn it on, usually like in the either it was like in the afternoon or on a weekend or something. He would turn it on, and that would be his one of his go-to like nap shows, because as you said, and I want to talk about this more, it's so easygoing and so relaxing that was just kind of like, I know a lot of pastors, they have this hobby of after they get done preaching, they come home and watch golf so they can fall asleep watching it.
Right,
like
right.
That was my dad's thing. It was like sometimes, because he also grew up watching Mr. Rogers. So he would, you know, just kind of slip into this warm bath of the show and fall asleep for a bit. But my son Cooper, we have been watching Mr. Rogers with him for the past few months. Because like you said, still to this day, it's one of those shows that like, I don't feel like I have to monitor what's going on. Right. Like I feel very safe turning this on. And so we've been watching that with him, and also one of the spinoff shows. There's two spinoff shows now. Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood has been one of his favorite shows for like a year now. I'm pretty confident he recognizes he recognizes Daniel Tiger, Elmo, and Bluey. I'm pretty sure he knows who those three are.
Not a bad lineup right there.
Not a bad lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with Elmo. Like every kid has to recognize Elmo, you know? So this has been an interesting experience for me of like starting to watch Mr. Rogers as an adult.
Yeah, real quick, where do you find that? Is it on a streaming service or is it on like reruns? Where do you find Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood today?
So they're pretty limited, but there is a PBS Kids app.
Okay.
It's a streaming app for PBS Kids. And there's only like less than 10 episodes on there at a time. But it's got like all of their current programming, a couple throwbacks as well. I don't know if anybody has. I know the PBS shows are kind of strange with like streaming rights stuff. So I don't know if anybody just has all 30 something seasons or not, but the PBS Kids app does have like 6 or 7 episodes. So we've been watching those.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool.
Streaming's complicated.
It is.
It can be. So when it comes to Mr. Rogers, one of one of the most interesting things about him is the fact of what he was before he was a television personality. He was a pastor, apparently. Did you look into that at all, Pastor Will? I know you said you were refreshing yourself.
Yeah, like episode. I remember later on down the road, I didn't know it. You know, it was PBS. It was pretty secular or religion neutral, you know, kind of thing. And you could tell, like, loving your neighbor as yourself and community and the people that we are a part of and your emotional intelligence and understanding our feelings and make believe, you know, is a part of just general children's education and nurture and growing as into personhood. But I think it wasn't until later that you heard like, oh, this guy was a minister and a Presbyterian minister. And that just completely made sense in terms of me, because I grew up with a Lutheran minister who was very gentle, very calm, non-anxious presence, and probably embodied even how he looked, man. Pastor really? Swain even kind of looked like, if I think about it, like kind of a tall oval face and very easygoing way that which he talked. So yeah, it definitely made sense with me and connected. It was like, of course he is. Cause that was kind of my perception of a pastor growing up.
Yeah. So I did not have that, like, you know, that kind of a pastor in my life growing up, you know, being part of the Baptist church. I got that Baptist church mold more with the style of pastor, but it blew my mind. I had known at some point, you don't know when you learn these things. I knew he was a Christian, but right. like the fact that he was an ordained minister in the Presbyterian church, went to seminary with R.C. Sproul, who's one of my like heroes of the faith.
Right.
I'm like, oh, so it's not just like, oh, he's a Christian. He's actually like moved from doing what we would consider vocational ministry to this, where he felt like he was making more of an impact than he was doing pastoral ministry, which is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too, because one of my favorite parts of our service is doing a children's message, sit with the kids and hear what they're going to say and do and roll with the punches. And I always thought, I was like, man, I could do a kid show. I could hang with kids and talk and have conversations. I love being a camp counselor and hanging with kids and teens of all ages, you know? And so, yeah, that sense of what's in a kid's mind, what are they going to say, and how can you help guide them with whatever they're going through is, I love it. It's one of my favorite aspects of ministry. So that makes sense for him.
Yeah, I've also had with my new job being a ninja coach with Ninja Zone, there's like these, I don't know, I get paid real money to do this. Like these, trying to remember what we call it, it's the Ninja Creed. And so it's just like good moral lessons, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like you were talking about earlier, just like these good things that Mr. Rogers was teaching that is kind of biblical, but also just like, here's how to be a good person. Type of thing.
Yeah.
Same kind mm-hmm. of idea. And some of them are very biblical. Like one of my favorite ones to talk about with the kids is Ninjas Tell the Truth. And just talking about the significance of speaking truth, not just like lying to people, but like speaking truth and how truthful things builds other people up. And what does it look like to tell the truth to someone? So it's interesting.
Ninjas talk? I thought they were like super quiet and stealthy. Ninjas talk and I can tell truth.
Really need to emphasize the quiet and stealthy with some of these kids.
That's right. Hey, real quick though, just aside, there's someone who's going to teach in a Aikido class here at the church.
Oh, cool.
And part of my selfishness of saying yes is because I want to start taking, I've always wanted to take a martial arts. So he sold it when he was like, oh, it's a martial art of love and defense, not necessarily attacking. I was like, cool, I'll take it. And if I can work with a bow staff and be an expert in a bow staff, I will be very, very happy.
That's a good goal to get to, working with a bow staff.
Okay. Gotcha.
Love it. But there is something about, bring it back to Mr. Rogers, like there is something, like children's ministry can be very unique, you know?
Yeah.
Having not grown up Lutheran, like it is interesting to me. We've been attending a Lutheran church the past few Sundays, and it's been interesting to me to see that, like, this, okay, now all the kids can come up and listen to, right. We have a very specific sermon lesson for you all, or like this church we've been attending, some of the liturgy involves the kids. They have children recite a prayer or part of a blessing as part of the, mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really interesting to see how you can start to shape children, both to be a good, just a good person, but also like different unique ways to instill the faith in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like our children's message, like I think, you know, that time, you know, there's definitely different ways where people will, you know, it's time to take the kids out this time of the service and have specific in-depth time, or most Sunday school or things like that with something else. We have a children's message only because like, I don't get a lot of face time with the kids with the busy Sunday morning or different things. So it's like a good chance to have a good few minutes of just having some face time with them. And then, you know, listening to them, letting them know they're important, but also hopefully giving, you know, I'm not teaching real in-depth doctrine at that point, but hopefully giving like healthy perceptions of how we understand God and love in one another and that kind of thing. So, that's kind of our purpose. And you to have an adult kind of look at you and get on your level and say, yeah, you're important. I think is important, and it's definitely what Mr. Rogers did for all those kids for over 30 years, you know?
Yeah. Met them where they were and did something that it's very difficult to do. And I'm sure you've had this experience. I've had this experience. Be able to talk to children without talking down to them, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's a difference between meeting someone where they're at and talking down to someone. And I, like, Mr. Rogers really did feel like your good friend who was your neighbor uh-huh. next door, you know?
Yep. 100%. I do like talking. I'm not going to inflect my voice or, you know, treat them as if they're a half a human being. Like I'd love just sitting down and getting their level and face to face and just asking like a normal question. Like, so what's your favorite thing about school? What's going on here? And they kind of look at me, oh, and then their answers are great. The other night we had our Shrove Tuesday night before Lent. Starts with Ash Wednesday pancake dinner. And one of my favorite kids came in. He's sitting there and we're just sitting there talking. I just kind of look at him and I go, Carson, how many times a day do you think you giggle? And he just stopped and he went, probably once a day. And you know, he's like four. And I'm like, no, I think tonight I've heard you giggle at least four times. And he started giggling. I was like, well, there's another one. So let's say five. And then he kept giggling. I was like, there's six, seven. I kept talking. So it was just like, it was so fun just to talk. I was like, hey, I got a random question for you, you know, and what they answer and what they think about and go through their head is super fascinating. And that was the thing about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is like, yeah, how to be a neighbor. There's a community around him, creatures, but there's also this understanding of make-believe and imagination. Mm-hmm. That was a big part. I mean, that trolley going through on the tracks with the piano and you're going off to make-believe land and meeting different people, like you're giving kids permission to get creative and to imagine and to be curious and to ask questions in a safe zone. Like I just think that legacy of make believe and using your brain and being creative is super important, super important.
And I think one of the reasons why as an adult I like watching Mr. Rogers and like encouraging Cooper to watch Mr. Rogers now is because it does teach this really important lesson of using your imagination and make believe. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the big thing. It's going into the kingdom of make-believe, which is good when we're in a world that is so digital entertainment now.
Right.
But I also really like it because children's programming can be very overstimulating with the bright colors and the constant music. And as you said earlier, he is a very calming presence. As soon as I turn it on, I feel calmer. But just the show in general, it's a very peaceful, like there's a way to use imagination without constantly having to use bright colors and music and sounds. You can do it still. You can play make believe and it still be relatively like a calm experience. And I think that's a very unique thing about this show, along with all the good moral things that Mr. Rogers teaches, you know?
Yeah, I've heard people say like when you're teaching or you're hanging out with kids most likely are not going to remember what you said to them or what you taught them, but they are going to remember how you made them feel. And so like I've heard my kids say, oh, I remember that person from, you know, our former church or whatever, and say like, oh, I remember that person. They were kind of intimidating to me, or they were a little scary to me, or, oh, I didn't, you know, it's not, they didn't feel safe, but they're like, oh yeah, that person like creep me out a little bit. But then there's others like, oh, that person really made me feel safe. And it's one of my favorite people, made me feel warm inside, made me feel like I was a person, like those kinds of things. So like, and I think we could take that lesson to like, not just kids, but everyone, please.
Yeah.
Like if you're at like a fast food place and you can see the people are working their butts off, don't give them a hard time because you had to wait an extra minute. Like they're hustling like everybody else. So like, Just how you posture yourself in the world and how you make other people feel is like, goodness gracious, I don't know what else is that more important than that. So, yeah.
Yeah, we just got back from Disney. Our last day there was Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday. And we passed somebody in the park. It was a couple, you know, who was also there, and they had a huge backpack full of Valentines that they were giving to the workers. They were giving just like these little, like, and that's really cool. Like, I only saw in a park filled with thousands of people, one couple who thought during our vacation, we're just going to take a moment to show a little bit of love to people who constantly have to always be happy, who have to constantly always like make you feel like you're having a magical experience, which takes
they
so
cannot
much.
Have a bad day. If they have a bad or off day, you're ruining somebody's experience of Disney World. So you got to tap out if that's the way you're feeling.
Right. And so I agree. Like, we have to, not just with children, I think it's very important for children because you want them to feel safe, but it's also very important for, you know, whether it's the 9-to-5 job people, the person you constantly get your coffee from, or, you know, just the people around us, our family, our friends, of just making people feel seen. You know, that was something Mr. Rogers did really well on the show, was making children feel seen, making, and also instilling in children like the importance of self-worth as well, of like, you do matter, you are loved. Like, these are things that he really taught on these shows, was like helping children understand that they have value as well. And when we treat adults as machines who are just trying to do something for us, you know, you're the cast member here at Disney.
Commodity.
Yeah, a commodity. you're supposed to make me feel magical. Well, then we're devaluing that person, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and you know, I wonder who the first person was. I mean, he surely wasn't, but his whole show is breaking the fourth wall. He was looking mm-hmm. out into the camera to us and talking to the people who are watching. So it's not like he's talking to kids on the screen over their heads to talk to us. Like, he's literally looking in the camera, looking me in the face and the eye, and breaking that fourth wall and saying, I'm talking to you, and making you feel like you're the only kid he's talking to. So that's pretty amazing. I don't know who did that before. I mean, of course, like Blue's Clues and other Dora the Explorer, there's other shows that break the fourth wall to talk
sure.
to its audience, you know, other than Deadpool. But like, you have like, Mr. Rogers looking in the camera, making you think. And that was a weird part of like COVID, is me looking into the camera, knowing I'm speaking into people's homes. I don't know how many people are behind the screen, how many people are watching, but I'm looking at the camera as I'm talking to a person. And that's not easy to do.
On that fourth wall break idea, we were watching, all three of us, Claire was here too. We were watching an episode, and it was about work. And so Mr. Rogers explained to his neighborhood friends what he does for a living. And the camera pulls back and shows that his house is a stage, you know, like a stage place.
Ah,
and
fun.
He explains cameras and the guys who do the sound and all of this. And Claire's jaw is on the floor. I was like, what? And she goes, for my whole life, I thought this was an actual house. I didn't realize that this was
a set.
House.
Did that help or hurt the show? Where she's like, oh, you're ruining my childhood.
A little of the magic is gone now.
Yeah,
a little.
Yeah. Why are you killing the magic?
But yeah, it's like, I don't know who did it first, if it was him or not. You know, there wasn't like children. It wasn't a live studio audience kind of thing. He was doing this fourth wall break stuff and just speaking directly to you. He would have thrived during 2020 with all of the COVID stuff. Like,
yep.
Maybe that's what we needed. We should have like approached this like Mr. Rogers a little bit better. Maybe we would have done better in 2020.
Maybe.
Making people feel loved and seen in 2020. That may have went over better.
A little bit. Or what we do affects our neighbor.
What we do affects our neighbor.
might
have been important. Have you seen any of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood? You don't have like grandkids or anything, so
no, I have not. I do. I think I remember hearing about it, but then going back and remembering some of the animals and people that were in Make Believe, I was like, oh, I remember Daniel the Tiger. Oh, I remember X the Owl. I remember the King. What was the King Friday?
King Friday.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, they were kind of coming back to me. I was going down memory lane and looking at some stuff. But yeah, I didn't know Daniel Tiger had his own show now, spinoff. You know, why not?
So
now, is that like animated or is it a real puppet? Did they break the fourth wall? Is it like Blue's Clues? What is this TV show like?
Yeah. So like I said, Cooper's been watching this one for like a year now. So I'm much more of an expert on this than I am Mr. Rogers. Yeah. But how this show works is that it's the next generation. So Daniel Tiger, the puppet from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, now has a son who is also named Daniel Tiger. And that's who the show is about.
Gotcha.
And it's a lot of the puppets from the original Mr. Rogers show. Now their kids are who the focus is on. So King Friday and Queen Sarah, they have another son named Prince Wednesday because they have a son named Tuesday. Yeah. Henrietta Pussycat has, I lost her name. Oh man, I can't think of her name, but she's, I forgot her name, but she's got a cat. She's got a daughter. X the Owl takes care of his nephew. Oh, the Owl. So it's a lot of that, just like these next
X's and O's.
X's and O's.
X's and O's. So did you say, remind me, I'm sorry, is it animated or is it live action? Like,
it is animated. It's animated. Okay. And it follows a pretty similar kind of format where Daniel Tiger, the child, Junior. They don't call him Junior, but Daniel Tiger Jr. He is talking directly to the audience. He is talking directly to his neighbors. And on the show, each episode, there's like a lesson that is taught through a very short song. So what was an example of one? I'm trying to think. Keep on trying and you'll feel proud. Like if you get stuck doing something, and it's this song that usually the adults sing to the kids, and then the kids sing it to each other as they go through the day and they experience problems. And it's been pretty good. There's only been a handful of times where I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily like agree with how we're using this lesson. But overall, it definitely has been a, you know, put it on. Cooper will sit there with his goldfish and enjoy the show. Daniel,
that's a PBS app too.
That's on the PBS Kids app too.
Okay, I'm glad they're keeping it with PBS.
Yeah,
because when Sesame Street moved to HBO, I was like, "What are we doing?" Like, that is something. But then I'm glad PBS still has some programming out there.
Yes, the newer episodes of Sesame Street get added to that PBS Kids app like months later, and you can kind of tell. What you can tell is that there's more money being dumped into it because it looks. The production looks a lot sharper.
Interesting.
Yeah, but there's been no, you know, like Bugs Bunny hasn't shown up or anything on Sesame Street or Superman or anything.
Yeah, Warner Brothers crossovers. Yeah, right. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, well, I will say this, though. What's his face? Brett Goldstein, who played Roy on
Ted Lasso.
He was on an episode, and the whole skit was just making Ted Lasso references. It totally was for the adults. No kid
did
was
have
watching.
To bleep out. Did they have to bleep out half of what he was saying?
Thankfully not.
They're dropping F-bombs on Sesame Street.
There's one episode of Daniel Tiger I wanted to talk to you about because they quote one of Mr. Rogers' most well-known lines. So there's a lot of like subtle references to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood on Daniel Tiger beyond just the characters. Like Daniel Tiger's house has the traffic light. There's a fish tank that he feeds his fish. Trolley passes through the house. So some of these like very much reminiscent of Mr. Rogers' home. But there's an episode where there's a big storm in the neighborhood of make-believe. And it knocks down all these trees, causes a lot of damage. And little Daniel Tiger gets upset by all of this because he's seeing all this chaos and damage. And his dad, Daniel Tiger, says to him, when I was a little boy, my mom used to tell me whenever there was trouble to look for the helpers. And that when you see helpers, it is a sign that things are going to be okay. Which this is, I butchered that. But that's one of Mr. Rogers's like most well-known lines. It's this idea of when there is chaos, when there is damage, look for the helpers.
Yeah, like the first responders. Look for the ambulance people. Look for the police. Look for the nurses, the social. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, look for the first responders. They're going to be there to help you. That's good.
That's good. Because, you know, it's a good lesson to teach kids, not just definitely with this idea of like, look for the first responders. Look for, you know, the people who are going to respond first in the uniform with the vehicles, but also just to like provide a sense of peace that even in a lot of chaos, there is still hope.
Yeah.
And again, coming back to something that's kind of Christian, especially here in the spinoff show that is even further away from like the Christian-y Mr. Rogers kind of show, like that's so profound. Look for the helpers in the chaos. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Many helpers around. That's good, man. I like, I might use that this week for my children's message. I still don't have a children's message for the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And,
okay.
But it's the Mark's version of, it doesn't even list the temptation. It's just like, oh, he was tempted. And then he hung out with wild beasts and angels waited on him. And I just cannot let go of like, and he hung out with wild beasts and the angels waited on him. Like he's hanging out with angels and wild beasts at the same time in the world. Of course Jesus would. And so I'm trying to think about how that maybe, yeah. Yeah. Look for the helpers. Even Jesus needed helpers at certain times. He had angels.
Yeah.
And wild beasts.
Wild
okay,
beasts.
I'm playing. Working out. We're workshopping it.
We're workshopping it right
I'm
here.
I'm going to turn it into, I'm going to be inspired and I'll be inspired by Fred Rogers in this podcast. That's good.
All these years later, still inspiring people.
Of course. Awesome. Yeah, his legacy. I mean, I don't know if you, did you ever see the movie, the Tom Hanks movie? I didn't because I knew I would probably cry through the whole thing. and so, you know, just one of those things where I was like, oh man, that's going to be a tearjerker. And not that I don't mind crying, but I was just like, oof, that might be a little heavy at this point. And so I never saw it. I love Tom Hanks. I love Mr. Rogers. I don't know why I haven't seen it, but is that a movie that you've seen out there? Did it handle his legacy well?
I have not seen it yet. I do like the general plot of the movie, though, because I think part of it is supposed to show that, like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, toxic celebrities, but here's a guy who actually really walked the walk. I think that's part of the story. It's like someone's trying to get to the, okay, so who was this guy really? And people coming forward saying, no, actually, he was like this on and off screen of just wanting to care about.
So the take is like, surely he's not that nice.
Yeah.
Surely there's something here that makes him like, and then he proves wrong. Like, no, he's really that way. That's okay. Okay. Yeah. Might see that one day. We'll see what happens.
I would like to see it too. I there's always so many movies to watch, but like you, you know, it's Tom Hanks. So you got to watch it.
You gotta
watch it. Any final thoughts as we start to wrap up this episode on all things Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely on-camera personality, so we've learned is off-camera personality. But then, you know, in terms of his advocacy, like for public television, he went to like a Senate hearing, you know, I think it was Nixon who wanted to cut public television. There are always people looking for funding. Why should the government pay for this or not? And, you know, who's in charge? Privatize it. You know, Sesame Street went to HBO because they had more money or whatever as things shrink. But, you know, he advocated for children's education and the public square and government support of that. So like he did that too. But yeah, public broadcasting, PBS, those things has had a long history. And he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of that when it comes to children's shows, but also his advocacy for children and PBS nostalgia. Like he's it. But
that's true.
Yeah, still a witness to the day, and up there is kind of modern day saints, that should be recognized and commemorated and be a good role model. You can't think of anybody better than Fred Rogers. That's for sure.
That's for sure. And an advocate for racial equality too, because he does have that famous mm-hmm. moment where I think it's the postman or something who is a black man, and it was a hot summer day, and Mr. Rogers had just filled literally like a kiddie pool, a pool for a 2-year-old, but he was gonna just kind of dip his feet in, and he invited the postman to dip his feet into the pool with him at the same time, during a time where there was still a lot of separation, and we were still trying, late 60s,
and trying to figure that out. And he's like, look, there's not a white pool and a black pool. We're going to share the pool together. And that's pretty, pretty monumental.
Yeah. Doing so much for children, for equality, and for your neighbor. Huge things. All right. Well, thanks, Will, for being on this episode. This was a good...
Yeah, I appreciate, stoking those memories for me and reflecting on it. And then, I can take a lot away from that and be reminded, get caught up on our own kind of streaming and what's happening in pop culture and geek culture and go, and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And it's like, maybe times we just need to be like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes we just need to be like Mr. Rogers and think about others. We're going to think about others every once in a while. I did not, you go into to pull the curtain back a little bit. Whenever you start a podcast episode, you think of a few things you want to talk about, right? I did not know that we were going to take a turn and talk about children's ministry. That makes sense that we got there, but...
yep.
Well, thank you all listeners for dropping into today's episode. If you enjoyed it and are also feeling very nostalgic, again, the show's on the PBS Kids app. You get a couple episodes out there, or who knows, there might be some on YouTube. Go check it out.
I know I'm going to YouTube after this for Daniel the Tiger show. I'm going to look and see what that looks like. I got to see the aesthetic for that for sure.
So yeah, go check it out, and obviously rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Share the episode with someone who you think also needs a trip down memory lane and should celebrate the birth of Mr. Rogers. Consider supporting the show at buymeacoffee.com/MSLpod. Everyone who supports the show at the $9 a month level gets a shout out. So thank you, Lori, for supporting the show. We'll be back next week to celebrate someone else, someone different next week here on the show. But until next time, this is Brandon signing off. And instead of the normal way I sign off the show, it makes sense to say, I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you, and you'll have things that you'll want to talk about. I will too.